Thank you, Elder Kopolka, for bringing the lesson last week. I did listen to it, and I'm not going to park on a driveway and drive on a parkway. I'm not going to do that. You say we shouldn't do that, right? Park on the driveway and drive on a parkway, right? We shouldn't do that. And, good stuff. And I looked for my fruit of the Spirit eraser, and I can't find one. I don't know where you get that. You say you could erase stuff, and that's not cool. So he did bring the teaching on goodness. And so now we pick up with the last three of the tolls, and the last three of the tolls pertain to you. The first three of the tolls that we taught you pertain with your relationship with God. The second mid three, and Bob ended that one with goodness, pertains to your relationship with others. And the final three tolls is your relationship with yourself. It's about you. And so today I'm going to be talking about who? You. So don't be pointing your finger at somebody else and saying, wake up, he's talking about you. No, I'm talking about who? You. Now, in the South where Chrissy comes from, more than one you is y'all. Am I right, Christina? More than one of you is a y'all. In Pittsburgh, more than one you is a what? Yins. So I'm talking to yins. So don't be pointing your finger at nobody else. No, I'm talking to who? Yins. Or as Christina would say, y'all. Or if I took that position in the South, it'd still be yins because I come from Pittsburgh, right? All right. And so today we're going to pick up with the first toll that has to do with your relationship with yourself. And that's faithfulness. Faithfulness. And I wonder, I'm going to ask you, how many of you are pretty faithful? Would you say pretty faithful? Okay, we got a couple. We got three or four. Okay. What's faithful mean? In order to be something, you need to know what it means, right? That makes a fair statement, right? Yeah. If you say, am I Italian? I'm going to say no, because I know I'm not. I'm Irish, right? And if I say to you, are you faithful? And you go, yes, then you clearly have to know what that is, right? And I'm reasonably sure you probably don't. No. You probably, what do you think it means?
I'm faithful to God no matter what happens in my life. I will always turn to Him and believe in Him.
How many believe that's what that's what? Everybody believe? That's wrong. That's what everybody believes that it is. Everybody believes I have faith in God, right? That's not what it means. And so on Sanctification Highway and Discipleship Training, in order to understand, you have to understand, well, what is it? Right? I'm sure that when Elder Bob talked about goodness, you thought good people and bad people. That's probably what the instinctive thing think about, good people, bad people. That's not what it is. There's a small component of that, but when you listen to Elder Kopolka's lesson, how many understand goodness is far more than good people, bad people? It's not that at all. Right? So if I said to you last week, well, how many of you are good people? Oh, I'll bet you 85% is going to go, whoop-ah! And I'm going to go, really? Because I know the definition, right? Faithfulness is not what you think it is. And so in order for us to get into the lesson, you have to kind of know, well, what is that? What is faithfulness? Before we get into that study, let's go to our first passage of Scripture. That's Galatians 5:22-23.
But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
All right, so you can see that the first of the last three is what? By the way, who read last week for Bob? Who read? You read? You did a great job. I want to let you know, not that anybody else doesn't, but it's the first time I got to hear a tape. Because I'm usually the one speaking, right? Listen to it. Boy, that really comes across pretty clean. If you ever got a CD, Bob, that comes across really clean. Really clean. So thank you to all my readers. And I'll tell you what, and I'm only saying this to you because I just heard you on the tape. That really sets it apart because most of the readers are female. And what I mean by that is it separates it. You know what I mean? There's a distinct voice in there. It's really cool stuff. I just wanted to say that was really good stuff. Okay, so we see that the third toll is faithfulness on Sanctification Highway. And you'll see that faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control pertain to who? You or yins. Right? So the last three have got to do with yourself. It's what you need to do about yourself. And the first of the last three is faithfulness. And we are going to discuss, well, what does faithfulness mean? So let's go to Proverbs 20, verse 6.
Many men tell about their own loving kindness and good ways, but who can find a faithful man?
You can see there that loving kindness and being good is not faithful.
Right.
Is it?
No.
A lot of people say, well, I'm good, or I'm kind, but Scripture clearly says in the book of Proverbs, you know what? A lot of men will tell you they're good. A lot of men will tell you they're kind. But you still can't find what?
Faithful.
Okay, oh, you do? What is it?
Okay. Faithful means that you do what God tells you to do.
Woo! She got it. So faithfulness is more like this. Faithfulness is your yes is your yes. And your no is your no. That when you say that you are going to do something, you are faithful to what? Do it. Faithful to do it. I really truly wonder how many people in the hearing of my words always do everything you say you're going to do. How many of us in this room have ever said we're going to do at least something and we didn't do it? So then, are you faithful? Are you faithful some of the times? Yes. Maybe some of you are even faithful most of the times. But are you faithful all of the times? Probably not. And Scripture says many men will tell you about their own loving kindness. I'm sure there will be. And this is an equal opportunity message, so women too, right? Many folks will tell you about their own loving kindness, and they'll even tell you about their good ways and all the good things that they do. But where are you going to find the one that's faithful? Where are you going to find that one? Let's turn to Psalm 12, verses 1 to 2.
Help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing. The faithful had vanished from the earth. Neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and deceitful hearts.
Wow. Oh Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing. Does that mean all the people on the earth are gone?
No.
In fact, I think the population in the world is increasing, right?
Yes.
How many know it's increasing?
Yes.
So it can't be that people are disappearing because the population is increasing. So it's not that people are disappearing, it's godly people. Faithful people are what? Disappearing. I gave this talk. I gave three talks in Boston when I was there. And there are 265 organizations across the country like what I do. Okay? And did you see the commercial on TV, the Life Programs? It's on Channel 4. Well, you watch. You'll see it. It's right on there. Life Programs is, you know, talk about all across the country. Anyhow, there's over 200. There's only 20 chaplains. Why? Why? Because the way that our world thinks is the most important thing about the human being is the physicality. It's this part. It's this part. It's not the dying spiritually part. And so if that's the case, and it is the case, I'd have no reason to tell you it isn't if it was. What does our world say about the necessity for spiritual things? And all the benefits that you have at work, is spirituality one of them?
No.
Do you have any kind of insurance for that?
No.
Nope. Nope. In fact, there's some who say, you know what, you need a me day. Anybody know what a me day is? A me day is when you take one of those personal days that you have. Like, you know, you have a 3 weeks vacation, take a me day. You know, go talk to a tree or something. What's that?
Mental health day.
That's it. How many need a mental health day? How many need a mental health week? Okay, how many need to take a year off? Right? Let's clearly look. This says that the godly are fast disappearing. Are you one of those? Are you one of those? Let's go back to my initial question. I said, are you faithful some of the times? And people said, yes. And I said, are you faithful most of the time? And some people said, Probably. Are you faithful all the time?
No.
Okay, are you godly all the time?
No.
No. Some of the time? Most of the time? Okay. And so you understand that when the world looks at us, I think a lot of people think the majority of the United States of America is Christian. And I think a long time ago that's probably true. That the majority of United States citizens were Christian. I think that was true. Then it ended around 1774, 6, whatever. There were a lot of religious people. There were a whole bunch of people that go to church and synagogues. But are they mostly godly?
No.
No. In fact, as Christianity, the way that we define it, is fast becoming the minority. Did you know that? We are the minority. And if Christians don't stand up and start saying stuff, pretty soon you will be, what? A relic. You'll be a relic. It's true. It's definitely true. And so, let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.
Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days. But if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life.
Yeah.
Amen.
You see, faithfulness means that you are going to do the things you said that you will do. When somebody says to me, I have been faithful to my wife, and I hear that kind of stuff a lot, what is that person saying to me, do you think? Somebody say it.
They haven't cheated.
I haven't cheated on my wife. Mm-hmm. That's what people think. Mm-hmm. That's what that means. I've been faithful to my spouse, which means I have not had an affair. That's what people think. I'm telling you, faithful means I kept my vows and my covenants to this very day.
Amen.
That's what it means. That when I said or somebody said, I love you, what that means is I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to insist on my own way. I'm not going to keep records of wrongs. I'm not going to boast. I'm not going to be envious. I'm not going to be jealous. Now the question remains is, how faithful are you now? How faithful are you now? What would the answer be now? And so disciples understand what the true meaning of the word means. Disciples understand what the whole context of faithful means. It doesn't mean I kept one part. It means I kept what? All the parts. Now I wonder now, if I said, oh, you're faithful, would you say yes? Now that's a loaded question. I wouldn't want you to say that in front of your spouse if they're here, you know. Did you raise your hand yes?
Yes.
Do you want me to put you in your place again? Have you ever yelled at your wife? You heard me. Did you ever yell at your wife? Yes or no?
Long time ago.
Here we go. Let me ask Char. Has your husband ever yelled at you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Don't put your hand up, Dave. I have the other part right here. Oh, we should stop now. So being faithful to your spouse does not mean I have not gone out with somebody else. Being faithful to your spouse means I have honored that person. I have put that person above myself. I have served that person and not demanded on my being served. I have been able to take the relationship between ourselves and I have been able to reconcile. And I want you to know what reconcile means. Reconcile means I have said I forgive you and I'm going to go on in our relationship as if it never happened. I wonder how many of us are faithful.
Right
What's every day?
No.
Oh, I thought you said every day.
Not like things that happen, I can put them in the past.
Perfect. Perfect. And so being faithful means you are discharging the responsibilities that somebody has given to you 100% of the time. That's what it means. Faithful to your children. Faithful to your spouse. Faithful to your employer. You know, when your employer asks you to do something, and you only do what your employer requires of you to do, that's fair. There's nothing wrong with that. And then if they pay you, everybody's even. But faithful people do more.
I've been faithful.
With that.
Yeah.
I got it. See, faithfulness requires what God requires of you. Like, would you take a pencil that's not yours? Would you take a paper clip that's not yours? Probably not, if you're faithful, right? All right, let's go to Hebrews.
And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house.
Okay, and so the goal of a disciple is to be like the teacher. Did you know that? The goal of a disciple is to become like the teacher. Now, I am your teacher, but I don't want you to become like me. The goal, you don't really, you don't even go there. In order to be a disciple, you want to be more like Christ. Christ was faithful unto his Father who sent him. Obedient even unto what?
Death.
Did anybody ask you to die recently?
No.
Did anybody threaten to kill you? Oh, no, no. That's different. That's different. And so being faithful means that we are going to be obedient. And we are going to do the things that are required of us. I told you that you need to be faithful to your spouse. I just told you what that meant. Faithful to your family, faithful to your children, faithful to your employer. But you need to be faithful to your church too. I'm going to say that again. See, you need to be faithful to your church too. What is expected of you, you need to do. Right? Now, when you're faithful to your church, does God honor that? Of course he does. Of course he does. And what is it required of us? We're going to get into this. What is it required of us? When you belong to a church family, what is required of you? There is requirements, right? Joining a church isn't going to get you into heaven, but joining a church, you have requirements, you have responsibilities. What's one of them? What's an easy one? Pray. What? Showing up. Attendance, right? It's a, what's that?
Take care of your family.
That's what we're required to do. Now, let me ask you this question. And I don't want you to respond. Because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Because I could. If everybody was as faithful as you, would this church exist? I just want you to think about that.
No.
No. If everybody in the church was exactly as faithful as you, would the church exist? That's an interesting question, isn't it? That's an interesting question. Not as everybody was as faithful as, say, for the pastor, for example, or everybody as faithful as, you know, people who sing in the praise team, whatever. If everybody was as faithful as you are, would this church exist? That's a good question. That's a good question, isn't it? That's a really good, thought-provoking question. Okay, let's turn to John 4:34.
Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God, who sent me, and from finishing his work."
Wow, how about that, huh? Jesus says, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God, who sent me, and from what?
Finishing.
Finishing. You know how many people start and don't finish? Man, if I had another hour, I wouldn't give you names, but I'd give you examples, an hour long of people who wanted to start in the relationship with Christ and didn't finish it. I'll give you an example to think about. Somebody calls me on the phone. Pastor Tom, I was just thinking about you. Oh, where are you? Wow, who is this? Well, this is Bill. Bill who? Bill, you know Bill. Bill who? You know, I went to school with you. Oh, you did? What school was that you went to? Was it college? Oh, no, elementary school. Miss Eichelob's class, fourth grade. Oh, that's a while ago. That's a while ago. Yeah, but I was just thinking about you. Wow, that's awesome. That's like 60 years ago. You're just thinking about me. Life is great. What were you thinking about? I was just thinking about how it would be nice of you to marry my granddaughter. Oh. Just sitting around the table, huh? Oh, boy, I hope that pastor's home. Boy, I love that guy. He was fourth grade. He was a cast me out, that guy. Really? Awesome. And we debate this. You know, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. And I'll check my calendar now. She's going to have to come to church. Well, you know, she works on Sundays. Well, I do too, but I'm there. What's your point? Well, you know, she works every Sunday. Oh, good. Okay, Wednesday nights we got Bible study. Oh, well, you know what? Her fiance works. Ooh, what day is she free? I'll make a special arrangement. They don't want that. What do they want?
Get her married.
I'll tell you what they want. They want this building. I'll tell you what they want. They want 50 feet that a white crash comes down. That's what they want. They want to be able to go like this. That's what they want. They want somebody to stand up here that's got some credentials to say, I pronounce you. That's what they want. How many agree with me? And that goes for weddings, funerals, and baptisms. But where's the relationship? You know, I'm getting older now. Oh, now I'm 52. Now I'm 52. Just a number. Just a number. I pick any numbers I want. I'm picking a number. You pick your number. Let's try. I'm 52. Who's younger than me in this room? See, it's just a number. Just a number. All but you. Half a century guy. But I truly have waffled back and forth with this whole thing. I get called all the time. And now I'm kind of thinking like other pastors did who I preceded, or who preceded me. I'm not going to do them. You don't want a relationship with Christ? Go to somebody else. Is that sounding hard to you?
No.
I'm starting to think that way now. I'm starting to think that way. I used to think the other way. Well, you know what? If I meet them and I introduce myself to them and I marry them, then I have a chance. I get all that. But in my 30 plus years of doing this, I don't see anybody I married. How about that? I'm being real. I see, you know, maybe a couple here and there. I see Jimmy, Carol, one.
Hey, us.
No, I reaffirmed yours. You always got to get the one in the crowd. I have probably married in the 30-some years probably 100 couples. I don't see any of them. I'm being real. How many people you married? Some, right?
Some.
They here?
No.
Of course not. They're not here.
They used you, Beth.
What?
They used you.
They needed me.
They used you.
I don't think they used me. I understand the sentiment. But they're not being faithful with the relationship to Christ. All right. Finishing his work. Everybody in this room has a job to do. The jobs are different. I get that. The jobs are different. And I totally understand that. But we all have a responsibility one unto the other. Is that fair?
Yes.
We do have a responsibility one unto the other. Right? And all of us in this room can do something. Something. How many agree with that? We can do something. And if you're doing nothing, And we got a problem. Because you're not being what?
Faithful.
When you join a church like this one or others, we said, will you be faithful? We said that. With your talent, your tithes, and your time. That's what we said. Right? Have you heard me say that before? Will you support the church with your talent, your time, your tithe? Right? If you're not finishing with that, you're not being faithful. How many understand that? Jesus said, from finishing his work, not my work, his work. His work. How many believe that God has a job for you?
Yes.
Of course he does. Of course he does. The job is, are you finishing it? You do not get awards for starting stuff. If you get awards and plaques and certificates for starting stuff, I'd have to get another house that's bigger. How many know, if you got awards for starting stuff, how many have a couple awards? For starting stuff. Right? You don't get things for starting stuff. You get things for finishing stuff. And I want to let you know that the Apostle Paul said, I ran my course, I finished my race, and I got my crown. You don't hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, for not finishing. You don't. I'll prove that to you. Let's go to, well, not this one. We'll go to Deuteronomy 7:9.
Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands.
Yeah, he is the faithful God who keeps his covenant. What's a covenant?
Promise.
A promise. He keeps his promise. For 1,000 years, he keeps his problem. 1,000 generations. Do you keep yours? How many say, well, I keep it some of the time? Maybe even some of us might say, I keep it most of the time. But how many do not keep it all the time? That's not being faithful. You see, the reason I say that to you, if you tell somebody that you're going to do something for that, for them, that person you say that to is counting on you being faithful. To do what? To do that thing you said you would do. Do you understand that if you do not do that thing even one time, there can be some doubt in that person's mind about you ever going forward? Oh, God, is that amen? Is that amen? Did you say amen or oh yeah? And so when you don't do what you say you're going to do even one time, do you know you're creating doubts?
Yeah.
In who?
The other person.
Other person in whom?
You.
You. Sissy will tell you, I think she will tell you, there are times that I've gone home at the end of the day, like today maybe, you know, and I got lots of stuff we got to do, and then I got to turn around and go down to Sons of God. And I do a whole nother worship service for them. I do. I don't want you to think highly of me, but I do that. And do you think I get compensated for that? The answer is no, I don't. I don't. And there's been times I've said to Sissy, I'm just so tired. Right, Sissy?
Right.
I said, I'm tired. But I also add, but I'm going because I said I would. I said I would. So because I said I would, guess what? I'm going. That's being faithful. It's not so much in that example of being faithful to God, it's being faithful to my word. I said I would. And because I said I would, I am. Help me understand what I'm saying to you. A disciple in Christ is faithful. When you say that you are going to do something, consider it done. Because you said you would. You know, years ago, I'm sure some of us will know, I'm close to being 60 now. Just a number. You know, by the time people come to the church, how old is that guy? He's whatever age he wants to be. Years ago, when a man or woman told you they were going to do something and shook your hand and looked you in the eye, guess what? Done. Mark's going to come out to our house on Friday, I think he said, to start doing some work on my house. Do we have a contract? Do we need one? Don't need one. He's my brother. He says he'll be there. And whatever price he charges me will be fair, because he's my brother. How many understand that? How many want to work that way? Isn't that the way you want to work? We don't need to have... I'm sure that you have been burned by people because of that, too. Is that true? Is it true? True? It's true. Well, you might have done a job for somebody and they didn't pay you. Right, but there has been situations, right? There's been situations. Right. And on the other end of that, that person not being faithful. Right? How many of you, now let's just be real, in this world, in the year 2017, in this environment, 2017, how many of you would rather have a contract with a name signed on and notarized so you know you have some recourse than just shake somebody's hand? How many rather have the document?
Me.
Rather have the document. Right? How many would hope and pray that we don't live in a world like that? When somebody says they're going to do it, it's going to be done. That's the world I want to live in. But that's not the world we exist in. Right? It's not. All right, Matthew 25:21.
The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.
You know that comes from the parable of the talent, right? What did he call the servant?
Faithful.
And a lot of us have said, you know, I can't wait to hear, well done. Right? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let's explore what you always say you long to hear. Well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. What precedes faithful servant? Well
done.
Not you had faith in that I'm God. Not that you had faith that Jesus Christ was your Savior. That's not what that means. Well, what? Done. You what? Did it. What you said you would do, guess what? You did. And that which I gave in charge of you to take care of, you took care of. Well done. Thy good and thy faithful servant. Well done. Well done that you had faith in me. Well done that you came to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. No. Well done that what I asked you to do, who can finish that thought? You did, and you finished it. Parable of the talent, let's explore. You know the parable of talent. To one of the servants he gave, and to one he gave. And one he gave. And the one who had the most went out and he invested it. He did what his master required of him. He did it. He went out and he invested it. And what did he say? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. You did what I told you to do. And not only that, you have made more. You've made more. Well done. Well done. And to the one that he gave two or three, well done. But to the one he gave one. To the one he gave one. And I know you know the answer to this. He said, I didn't do anything with it. I did nothing with it. Now what is a talent? I told you before. I don't want you to think about monetary. I want you to think about opportunity. Opportunities to serve. I gave you the opportunity and you didn't do it. I handed it to you. I didn't give you a boatload. I didn't tell you to go down to Sons of God every Sunday for the last 15 years. I didn't ask you to go serve the Light of Life mission every fourth Thursday of the month for the last how many years he was doing this. I didn't ask you to. I just asked you to do what? One thing. I didn't ask you to do many things. Right? I ask you to do what, church? Come on, how many? One. I asked you to do one. Just one. And you didn't even do the one. You didn't even do the one. But that one still needs taking place. Somebody has to do the one. Because it still exists because you didn't do it. So take that opportunity that I want to have done and give that opportunity to who? The one who did it all. Everybody following this? Because he's faithful. Or she's faithful. To do what?
No.
Now you who didn't do anything. You who didn't even do the one thing I asked you to do. Fact is, oh, not only are you not faithful, but you are considered what?
Wicked.
You wicked, lazy servant. That's what Scripture says. How many know that's what Scripture says? You wicked, lazy servant. That's what it says. And that's if you don't do what?
One.
You see, faithful disciples in Christ do what the Lord asks you to do. And Sue, hit a home run. That's exactly what it means. Now, for some of us, there is no question for some of us. He has asked us to do a lot. No question about that. There's no question about that. And for those he's asked to do a lot, guess what? That person or persons continue to be asked to do a lot what?
More.
And why is that? Because the person is faithful to do it. What percent of the time?
All
the time. And so when you see a busy person for the Lord, and you say, well, that person's just nonstop. He's like an ever-ready bunny. No, that person's just being what?
Faithful
to do what's required of him or she to do. Help me understand what I'm saying to you. It can't be any more simple than that, right? And to some, he hasn't asked everybody to be as busy, for example, as I am. But he's asked you to do some things.
Yes.
And you will see an individual doing some things. And then that person gets a couple more some things to do. Because that person is being faithful. But then you're going to see the person who isn't doing what?
Anything.
And the person will say, well, I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what I can do. I don't know. No, yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, you do. But see, when you didn't do the thing God asked you to do because you think you should be doing something different. And in there lies the problem. Well, you know, I need somebody to wash down the walls. Well, ain't gonna be me. Oh, you know, the God wants me to do something. He'll be washing down no walls. He might want me to go up there and, you know, do some kind of thing in front of people. I'll do that. God said, to some I gave many things to do. To some I gave a few. And to some I gave. Let's go to Luke 16:10.
If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities.
Da, da, da. If you're faithful with the little thing, you'll be faithful with the big things. If you're not faithful with the little things, let me ask you guys, all yins peeps. If you had some things that needed to be done, from small to big, you needed them to be done. And you were in charge of delegating the things that need to be done. And I'm just trying to do this off the top of my head. You say to one person, hey, you know what? On your way to church this morning, I really need a favor. Would you mind stopping and picking up 4 rolls of paper towels? Could you do that for me? Person says, yeah, sure, no problem. Person comes, then bring them. Now, I'm not saying you're full of hate and venom, but you're thinking. I would be thinking to myself, huh, okay. I asked a very simple thing. and the person didn't do it. I'm thinking to myself, okay, maybe the person gets another shot at it. How many would give the person another shot at it?
No.
Right? Now, I might say to the person who said no, and so you say to the person, hey, did you bring those paper towels? What's the first thing you're going to hear? Or, I didn't have any money, the store was closed, the traffic was, I was running late. How many know you're going to get an excuse? You're going to get an excuse. So you do it a second time, right? A week goes by, 2 weeks go by, and you say, hey, you know what? Wow, you know what? I'm already at the church, you know, and I forgot to pick up bread for communion. Could you do me a favor? Sure, what, Pastor? Could you stop and pick up a loaf? Oh, yeah, no problem. It doesn't come. I'm telling you right now, if I have a list of really important things to do, I can assure you that person's not going to get a call from me. How many agree? It's no more simple than that. If you are faithful with the little thing, guess what? I'll give you an example on the other side of that. We had a breakfast at my house for the men's study 2 Saturdays ago. And I looked in the cupboard. I was making pancakes and all kinds of stuff. And I didn't have a lot of syrup left. I called Scott. I said, Scott, you're coming today? Yeah, Pastor, I'm coming. Hey, Scott, do me a favor. I don't want to run down to Walmart because I think, you know, some guys might be here. Could you pick me up some syrup? Oh, yeah, no problem. Syrup came in the door. Orange juice came in the door. A loaf of bread came in the door. I didn't ask for orange juice. I didn't ask for bread. I asked for syrup. You think he might get another call? Oh, yeah. Faithful with the little things. Let's go back to the example of the parable of the talent. Somebody was given a lot, and that person duplicated it. Praise God. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. One was given a medium amount. He duplicated. Hey, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But one was only given what? One. And didn't do it. Just one. Nobody in this room better tell me that you were not given at least one thing to do. Don't even go there with me. Don't even do it. God has required at least one thing of everybody. How many agree with that? I don't even have to know what it is, but I know it's something. Just one thing. Disciples who are faithful, guess what? They do the one thing. Story goes of, and I know about to know you about, I know you know this about Jesus cursing the fig tree, right? Because the fig tree did what? Or didn't do what? Bear fruit. Let's talk about this. The tree was planted in a vineyard. The best place for a tree to be is in the vineyard. The tree is planted in the vineyard and it bears no fruit. So what happened to the tree that bore no fruit? You see, the tree was expected to bear fruit. The owner of the tree knew what kind of tree it was. What kind of tree was it? Fig tree. I put you where you're supposed to bear fruit. I took care of you so that you would bear fruit. But in place, you bared no fruit. And because you bared no fruit, guess what? I wonder how many of us are placed in the garden and can't bear fruit. How many of us have been... Robin, what's funny, Robin? Him? Pastor Colin, share with us the funniness.
Our chickens have not been laying.
Your what?
You don't need to play your sermon for the chickens because they're not being very faithful.
Well, the story goes of a parrot. And the parrot just had a foul potty mouth. Foul potty mouth. And the store owner gave it to the lady, and the lady said, this parrot swears all the time, swears like a drunken sailor. And the store owner said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll bring it home to my parrot, because my parrot prays all day long. And what is your parrot saying that's so bad? I want to make love. So no, that's not good. So he puts the female parrot in with the male parrot, and the female parrot says, let's make love. And the male parrot says, my prayers are answered. Maybe you need to get a different chicken. How do you know? He might have to get a different chicken, right? And so the fig tree planted in the garden with the chicken in the chicken roost are expected to produce fruit. You are expected to produce fruit. This is not open for discussion. You're a disciple. That's what you're taking a class for. You are not expected to come on a Wednesday from 7 to 9 and sit in the class. You're expected to bear fruit. You are expected to do what the Lord God asks you to do. You are expected to be faithful. You are expected to discharge a responsibility that God has laid on your heart. You are expected to see through to the very end. You are expected to do those things. And guess who that's on? You. But every single time that somebody doesn't do what they're supposed to do, the excuses come out. Let's go back to the parable of the talent. I didn't do anything with it because I knew that you were a harsh man. I didn't do anything with it because I knew that you reap where you did not sow. I didn't do anything with it because I knew I was afraid that I would lose it. So I didn't do anything. Excuses, right? I can't go see that person. I don't know how to pray. I can't watch children downstairs. Let's just see to it. I get it. Excuses. That's what we have, right? That's what we have. And because of the excuses of the parable of the talent, the owner of the servant said what? You lazy, wicked servant. Are you faithful? If everybody in this building was as faithful as you, would this building even be here?
No.
Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. If everybody... You can ask anything you want.
My question is, so some Sundays I have to work. Should I call off and come to church?
No. 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 That's not an excuse. That's a legitimate reason.
Oh, okay.
We live in an environment where people have to work on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I get up in my head, I have to ask.
You need to be faithful in doing the things God's asked you to do, maybe where you work. You need to be faithful with your prayer time. You need to be faithful wherever you are. You need to be faithful wherever you go.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
I do have a new job, like the guy at Mount Lebanon, and my boss is a Christian.
Praise God, right? Praise God.
That's great. That's well, I can't show up to church, but I can talk to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glenn.
You know, talk about faithfulness. Yesterday, Carol and I attended a wedding at a Catholic church. And while we were waiting for the things to proceed, I was looking at the crucifix at the church. And I usually don't agree with that. I mean, we have an empty cross. But I started thinking about Christ, and He was faithful to the cross for us. And I started thinking, you know, justification, He justified us. And I thought to myself, if I was nailed to the cross, I still couldn't have paid for my sin. I still couldn't have done it.
That's right.
Only Christ
Amen.
Could pay the amount for to redeem us. Talk about faithfulness. Praise God.
Yes, absolutely.
Praise the Lord.
Yep. Amen.
And that really, God spoke to me while I was sitting there waiting for the, you know, everything else to go on. But, you know, it's just amazing.
Yep.
I could not ever pay for my sin. No matter how much I was punished,
no.
I could not pay for it.
No.
He took that.
Sissy?
Faithfulness.
Sissy?
I was just going to say, when you were talking about faithfulness, I looked it up in my concordance, and it came up, well, there's several, but Revelation 2:10, which is our study that we're doing on Revelation, we will be doing this next Saturday, the church at Smyrna. But Jesus says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer.
Right.
I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison and test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. I think we have to remember that, you know what, if we are truly walking in the discipleship mode, and we are going to become Christians, true Christians will die for Christ, literally. We have to remember that there's so much more to this walk than just the fun stuff.
Yep. Go back a couple slides there. Right, see right there?
Yeah.
I had it up there.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Right.
See, you and I are just so like...
Yeah.
Awesome. I know. And so what we need to understand is that being faithful, that's who you are. I'm going to give you a perfect example of this. I hope I'm not going to embarrass Colin, but I'm going to do it anyhow. When I got operated and they cut my spleen, and I was really bad, there was a police officer in Chippewa Township that asked me to marry them. And I thought maybe I could do it, but I wasn't sure. Remember, Sissy?
I think that was your other surgery.
No, I think it was the spleen.
No? It was
one of those. One of those. But I called Pastor Colin. Remember I called you? Now, this is a wedding. This is a wedding. And I asked my brother, I said, Pastor Colin, I didn't even call him Pastor Colin, he's my brother, I said, Colin. We're brothers. I said, I need you to do a wedding for me. He didn't know the people. He never met the people. He didn't even know where it was. I had to give you directions for that, right? And I said to him, this is a wedding that I have to do. You guys understand that, right? This is not something I could call off. I had to do a wedding. I called that man, Colin, my brother, and I called him. And I said, here's the situation. I don't think I can do it. Remember I told you that? I don't think I can do it. Can you do it? He said to me, yes. I'm getting chills talking about this. And I said, thank you, brother. I didn't have to think about it again. I didn't have to think about will he be there, will he not be there. I didn't have to think about any of that. Nothing. Because he said he would. Right? Got a phone call after he did the wedding from the police officer. Said, thank you for sending Pastor Colin. What a wonderful job. That's being what?
Faithful.
Faithful, right? That's being faithful, right? That's being faithful. That when you say you will, you will. As we continue with our study Wednesday night, and I tear that all apart for you and give you some more examples to think about. Are you the 10-talent man or woman in this church? Are you the 10-talent one? Are you the one that's called to do a lot of things for the Lord and you're faithful and you do it? Are you that one? Are you the 2-talent man or woman? You do some things and the Lord God asks you to continue to do some things? Or are you the 0-talent? Because even the one thing that God asked you to do, you didn't do. You need to think about that. Sometimes we often think about, well, why are we stuck at that 30 number, that 30 or 40 number? Why are we stuck? Is it because we're not all doing at least the one thing we're supposed to do? Why we got no kids? Why are there no kids in this church? Where's all the young kids? Maybe it's just because Sissy's doing 10 of them and we got nobody, and Chrissy and Sue. Maybe we need some younger people to help out. I don't know what the answer is, but you know what the answer lies is in us. We are the answer somehow. And when City Reach, for example, came in this church, and you see them out there playing with the kids and having all the little fun things they're doing with the kids, right? And going out into Mooncrest and they're doing Bible studies in people's houses. We can't do that? We can't do that? Or am I the one that has to do that? Am I the one that should, you know, go do more? Or can some of us do that? How many know some of us could do that? We could do that. We're having a harvest festival on Friday. Would it be the same people again? Would there be anybody new helping out? Just asking. That's the one talent thing. Help me understand that. That's the one talent thing. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Do not raise your hand. Please do not raise your hand. Do not call out names. If you needed something done, you personally needed something done, are there people in this church right now you'd say, that's a person I'd call? How many know there are people you say, I'm calling that person because that person is going to do it? How many know at least one person that'll do that? Are you the person? That's the question. Are you it? How many so if I needed something done, there's a person or two I'd never call? Are you that person? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Doesn't mean faithful in believing in God. It doesn't mean faithful in believing that Jesus died for my sins. Faithfulness means I'm going to do the will of my Father no matter what. I'm going to finish it, what I've started. And I'm going to be faithful that no matter what it is, wash a wall, sweep a floor. Hey, we're sitting out here, say scrubbing floors.
Can I say something?
Yeah? But there's three now, no more. Okay.
The man stinky. You know, that's my faithfulness. I promise I'll do it twice a week and I do it.
Good. If you said you'd do it,
I'll do it.
You do it. Right. Everybody kind of understand what faithfulness means?
Do what you say you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lie.
Don't lie.
Right.
And do it with a good heart, right?
And I mean, you don't get into something you don't want to get into.
God knows you don't want to do it. If you're going to do it and you don't want to do it, guess what you should do? Stay home. God knows you don't want to do it. Stay home. Right? Okay, so faithfulness, we're going to pick it up on Wednesday. Again, faithfulness is a character about you. And disciples see through it to the end. Every part of it, right?
Amen.
Every part of it. Sometimes you might get persecuted. Sometimes you might not, you know, get any accolades because you did it. But you just do it because you just need to do it, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the hearing of these words. Help us to understand that we are on Sanctification Highway. And as Elder Bob said, you know, are we parked? Are we sitting still? Are we stepping on the accelerator? What are we doing? Are we stuck? You know, we're not going anywhere. Well, we clearly taught that we're moving towards glorification. We are on the road, and the road is going forward. Forward. And what is required of us to do, we do. Even one thing, we do it. And we'll know that we're being obedient when more things come that need to be done and you're asked. We'll know. It's easy to know. And for anybody in this room today that thinks that God doesn't have at least one thing for you to do, well, then they need to have another understanding of who you are. Everybody is required to do something. And all of God's people said, Amen.